¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey you! Do you not like being the only loser in your life? Well then I have the solution for you! Come on down to Slim Pickens, where you can pick with me and never get your picks right, ever! Negative 1,000 favorite? Fuck 'em, pick the underdog! Not sure if this guy's gonna win? Well he might! Pick him anyway! And for this week only, for the low price of only $49.99, I guarantee you that half of the picks you make will be wrong. So come on down to Slim's Pickens and start picking wrong with me.
Hello, hello, hello!
For it is us.
ANA MMA from across the pond.
Mother Russia pond.
the Black Sea.
That's over there, right?
I think so.
Close enough.
Caspian Sea, maybe. One of them.
Caspian?
Posts. Yeah.
Ooh.
Deep cut sea.
Deep cut sea. Well, we're back. It's us. It's ANA MMA. It's your boys on your regularly scheduled Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And we got some fight news to cover.
Oh, yeah, we do. We got a lot of shit to go over today, so I'm excited to get right into it.
We had a nice card from New Mexico, who...
Mm-hmm. Has a higher altitude than Denver?
Yeah, who knew? When they were talking about the altitude, I was like, oh, it must be up there, but I didn't know it was that high.
2 feet higher than Denver. That shit's wild.
That's nuts. And that's where everyone goes to train. So mm-hmm. No wonder the John Jones camp is from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Makes sense.
Couple disqualifications on this card.
Yeah, so I believe the stat for this one...
Is that like the most ever? Especially by like a rookie illegal strike like that?
There was something on it.
Something.
Yeah, I'll find it later.
Bro, in some news, did you see the one fighting championship card will not have a crowd in attendance? For its upcoming fight in China?
Why? Oh, wow. Because it's in China.
Yeah. They'll literally just have the commissioners, the refs, the judges, and the fighters.
Just go somewhere else.
Dude. Well, they can't move everything now. People got their flights and hotels booked and stuff. But yeah, apparently shit's getting deep over there. Like, there's people on cruise ships and flights and stuff that have been, like, quarantined. I guess I think, like, 13 people or something like that came off a flight.
14.
Yeah, and they're, like, stuck here in California, quarantined for, like, 3 weeks because they're infected. Dude, hey, shit's getting wild.
Come at me with that COVID, whatever the fuck they call it, 19, and I promise you, you will catch these hands.
I drink Modelo anyway.
What?
Coronavirus? No? Okay.
Over my head.
All right, but yeah, so... I kind of want to watch this to see what it's going to be like when someone knocks him out and you just hear... From like your
cornerman,
yeah.
And that's literally
you can hear the silence. You can hear every footstep they make on the canvas.
Yeah,
that'd be nuts.
That's gonna be very weird,
very odd. The Weiji Zhang, or not Weili Zhang, got out of there. She said, "I'm not staying here to train."
She bounced a couple weeks ago,
right?
And this motherfucker,
dude, shit's getting for real.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. Shit's scary. Well, anyway, not quite the horrible commission on this card that there was in Houston, but
I thought there was actually some good judging.
I thought so too.
A little bit weird on the reffing. I got a little complaint. I'll get in.
Okay,
but
I didn't have any on this card.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it.
All right, in the very first fight of the night, we had Mark De La Rosa taking on Holy and Paiva, the first of the married couple on this card. we both picked Holy and Paiva. He was the leader in most of the stats, especially in the striking department, and he delivered. He did exactly what I said. I said, you know what? His first fight, he lost a split decision. It was a close one to Kaikar France.
Yeah.
His second one, it was a doctor stoppage for a cut. He couldn't even get going.
Right.
And in this one, he proved himself that he belongs here.
Yeah, definitely. He was able to pretty much just keep Mark De La Rosa at bay with his strikes. De La Rosa was landing himself, but in the late in the second round, Paiva just landed a nasty right, just caught Mark De La Rosa, dropped him, followed up with some punches, got the KO victory. So that was 4 minutes and 42 seconds into the second round for Holly and Paiva. That improves his record to 19-3, and Mark De La Rosa falls to 11-4. That was the first knockout of his career. He's now 2-4 in the UFC. He's on a three-fight losing streak, so he's going to have to get it back on track if he plans on staying around.
Big old oof.
But Slim and I get that one correct, which improves my record to 22-14 on the year. Slim is now 21-15.
Hey.
And then we move on to the women's bantamweight division.
Yeah, we had Macy Chason taking on newcomer Shayna Young. Dude, Shayna Young came out swinging. Mm-mm.
Came out kicking.
Yeah. Threw a couple head kicks that actually landed very nicely on Macy Chason. They were like a side question mark kick almost.
It was just like a side kick.
Yeah, it was really weird, but Macy did not see that coming. Macy's entire game plan was the clinch.
Yeah.
And like the whole first, 12 minutes or 8 minutes of the fight, maybe, round and a half, she was just getting in the clinch and throwing these nasty body knees.
Oh, yeah. She was landing so many body knees.
I don't know how Shayna Young was standing through that.
Yeah.
It was absolutely insane. Out of Macy's 154 total strikes, 45 of them were in the clinch.
Wow.
That is absolutely insane. So she's obviously trying to get in close with Shayna Young because Shayna was doing good at the range very early on. Yeah, I thought Macy was going to bulldoze through her, and, you know, it just didn't really happen that way. She was able to get the takedowns and hold her down at will for the most part, but, an impressive showing for Shayna Young on, you know, coming up a weight class and on, a week notice?
Yeah, something like that. She definitely performed pretty well to at least keep herself in the UFC, but Macy Chason was just too much in this one. As Slim and I expected, the largest favorite on the card got it done. She improves her record to 6-1. I believe she's 2-1 in the UFC, 3-1, one of those.
Something like that.
And then Shayna Young, her record falls to 7-3 overall, and that was her UFC debut. So we'll see what is next for her.
I do
want to
see her back, though, at 125.
Yeah, Macy Chason gets herself back on track. That moves Slim and I to 2-0 on the night.
Yeah, except for this next one.
Yeah.
We had Casey Kenney taking on Mirab. I will never pick against him, Dvalishvili.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Give me him on DraftKings every time.
Literally. He scored 12 takedowns out of 24, to be fair. But 12 takedowns in a fight. That is absolutely incredible. The Matt Serra product just absolutely showing off in this fight against Casey Kenney
is a judo black belt, and he was getting tossed around by Mirab Dvalishvili. I mean, the pace is just insane.
Yeah. A good first round by Casey Kenney, but you can kind of see that the elevation kind of wore on him a little bit.
Definitely.
And they actually came out and said that Matt Serra did not tell Mirab that the fight was going to be at elevation because he knew he would just ridiculously train his ass off.
Right, right.
And he knew that his cardio would be able to hold up, and it fucking did.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is a machine, and that's his nickname.
Definitely lives up to it, man. His pace is definitely at the top of the bantamweight division. I mean, dude, it's insane.
There was a little video of, like, at the end of the fight where Matt Serra was going, like, "You're a machine. That's why you're the machine."
Yeah.
And Bert Kreischer quoted it and said, "Hey, I'm the machine."
That's funny.
It was pretty funny.
But, a very impressive performance by Mirab Dvalishvili over Casey Kenney.
I think that's three in a row for him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Snapping Casey Kenney's 5-fight win streak.
He's earned 7 of his 10. I'm sorry, Dvalishvili is now 10-4 overall, 3-2 in the UFC. He's earned 7 of his 10 career victories by decision, which includes all 4 of his UFC wins. Oh, I'm sorry, he was 4-2. I said.
Yeah, he is on a 3-fight win streak right now.
His 12 takedowns landed is now a new single fight record for most in UFC WEC bantamweight history.
Wow.
The previous record was tied with two fighters who had 11. And then Dvalishvili became the fourth in UFC history to have multiple fights with 10 or more takedowns landed. George St. Pierre, Demetrius Johnson, and Colby Covington also accomplished that.
Wow.
And Dvalishvili now has 39 takedowns in 5 UFC fights.
That's
crazy.
Insane. He might go all the way to the top.
Yeah. Casey Kenney, on the other hand, 13-2-1 overall, 2-1 now in the UFC, and he's suffered both career losses by decision.
And like I said, snapped a 6-fight win streak.
Yeah, so Slim and I bouncing off track right here, going 2-1, but I get back on track with these next couple, and Slim's downfall starts. Hope you guys like the commercial. Have fun at Slim Pickens.
Yeah, we had Devin Brown Bear Clark taking on Daquan Townsend. And then in this next one, it was pretty exciting. It was Jim Miller taking on Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. Jim Miller, no.
Yeah, you really are trying to skip that. Go ahead with your explanation.
All right. I don't think Devin Clark has hands at all.
Okay. He's got some power.
He's got power, mostly in his legs, for takedowns. Daquan Townsend, however, I thought he was going to be able to just go in there, batter Devin up, because he's had trouble with strikers in the past. It didn't happen.
Yeah,
Devin Clark took him down. You know, Mirab is very impressive when he gets 12 takedowns, but that means his opponent's getting back up.
Right.
Devin Clark just needed one per round.
Exactly.
That's all he needed.
And he just had top control the entire time.
He was just lost. He had no clue.
Yep. So, pretty easy win there for me. Devin Clark defeats Daquan Townsend. Judges had it 30-27, 30-26, 30-26.
I took a risk. Yeah, but, you know, I think Daquan's out of the UFC at this point.
Yeah, he's nearing it.
Dude, me and him both took 2 L's in the month.
Devin Clark is now 11-4 overall, 5-4 in the UFC. He's alternated wins and losses over his past 7 UFC appearances. And Clark has earned all 5 of his UFC victories by decision. That's crazy. He's going to be in double digits with his UFC fights in his next fight. I mean, he's been in there for a minute, dude.
Right.
And then Daquan Townsend, now 21-11 overall, 0-3 in the UFC, longest losing streak of his career, and he suffered 9 of his 11 career losses by decision.
You hate to see it.
So that improves me on the night to 3-1. Slim goes to 2-2. And then my little lead I have on him increases to 2. Let's move on to the next one.
We had Jim Miller taking on Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. I, of course, picked Jim Miller going to this. One of my one of my picks for the best submission artist of all time.
Yep.
Scott Hot Sauce, you know, he started his MMA career very late, but he's making the most of it. Looked really good in this fight.
Definitely.
I thought Jim Miller was landing the stronger shots, but Scott definitely had the pressure and had the volume of shots. He landed 120.
Yeah.
Jim Miller only landing 66. But every time Scott came in, Miller just had this crazy left hook that he was just smacking him with. And you could tell it was hurting. They were both bloodied up by the end of this.
Definitely.
But yeah, like I said, it was Scott with the volume and the pressure that eventually got him the win.
Yeah. I did not know Scott Holtzman's been in the UFC for this long. Jeez.
Yeah, a little bit.
His
he
record
didn't start MMA
until
he's 29.
So he is 6-3 in the UFC. Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman is. His record improves to 13-3 overall. And then on the other hand, Slim's pick, Jim Miller, 31-14 overall, 20-13 in the UFC. Total fight time now, 5 hours, 21 minutes, and 47 seconds in the UFC's lightweight division is most in divisional history.
And it's up there in total time, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then his 11 fight night bonuses for UFC lightweight bouts are now tied with Nate Diaz for third most in divisional history, behind only Donald Cowboy Cerrone and Joe Lozon.
But
they got fight of the night for this one.
His 34th UFC fight has tied Cowboy. So if Cowboy fights again, he gets the lead. If Jim Miller fights again, he ties it again.
Jeez. It's a back and forth.
It's back and forth. They're neck and neck for most fights in UFC history.
Yep. But moving on. Oh, I'm sorry. That improves my record to 4-1 on the night. Slim is 2 and 3.
Yuck.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
Moving on to the bantamweight division.
Not how we thought it would go again. We had John the Magician Dotson, who never lost in Albuquerque, New Mexico, yeah. His hometown. We should have thought of that ahead of time. Going up against the prospect, Nathaniel Wood.
I would have still picked Nathaniel Wood.
I know. He was hoping to get in there, get a quick victory, and then go to the London card. But John Dotson, man, he's just so quick and so crafty. You cannot count him out. He's
a tough fight every
time. He's just so fast.
Right.
Like, when he was landing, it was like, holy shit. You couldn't even see it coming. And Nathaniel Wood had great combinations, but John just seemed to always have an answer.
Yeah. Ended up catching him in the third round with a punch, and it was just, I mean, you know, as soon as John Dotson drops you, he's getting on you super quick.
And landed the most fastest flurry of punches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They weren't even damaging. They were just like... Multiple.
I thought it was an early stoppage. Nathaniel Wood was he dropped for a second, but he started getting right back up.
Right.
And he was getting close to getting up until Joe Coca, who exactly who
I'm in love with the Coca.
But yeah, he ended up stopping it. I thought it was early, but nonetheless, John Dotson defeated Nathaniel Wood. Yeah, like I said, 16 seconds into the third round. Nathaniel Wood now 16-4 overall. 3-1 in the UFC. All four of his career losses are by stoppage. John Dotson, on the other hand, is now 21-11 overall, 10-6 in the UFC. He's 4-4 since he returned to that UFC bantamweight division in April of 2016. He's 5-4 in that weight class overall.
First stoppage since 2013.
Yep, and all six of his UFC stoppage victories are by knockout.
Mm.
So it's been a minute.
John's a problem.
That moves... me to 5-3, or what the fuck? I'm tripping, bro. I don't know. What is my record here? I'm
5-4 and 1, 4-2.
I'm 4-2. Slim's 2-4. It gets no better.
No, we had Tim the Dirty Bird Means going up against newcomer Daniel Rodriguez. Boy, that boy's got some power.
Yeah, and I knew that coming into the fight. Didn't know he had the submission skills, but definitely knew he had some hands from when I saw him on the Contender Series. But, you know, Tim Means, like they were talking about, he was thinking about going into boxing. He's always had the hands, so there's
right,
a pretty good favorite on this fight.
He took out Thiago Alves, like,
yeah,
just recently.
Daniel Rodriguez, man, what a performance. Was just laying it on Tim Means both rounds until he got that guillotine choke 3 minutes and 37 seconds into the second round. What a performance by Daniel Rodriguez, getting himself a performance of the night bonus in his UFC debut. I mean, boom.
Incredible. I thought it could have been stopped in the first round.
Talk about rising your stock off rip. Get an upset, get a performance of the night bonus. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So congrats to Daniel Rodriguez on that one. He's now 11-1 overall. That was his UFC debut, so he's obviously 1-0 in the UFC. 10 of his 11 career victories are by stoppage. Tim Means, on the other hand, 29-12-1 in, overall, 11-9 in the UFC. He's now 9-7 with 1-0 contest since he returned to the UFC for a second stint in May of 2014.
Hmm.
But that makes me 4-3 on the night. Slim is 2-5.
Wow.
Moving on to the main card.
Yeah, we had Groovy. You never know what you're going to get. Lando Venata going up against AC Medeiros. And while we're watching this fight, we even said, you know, with Lando, he's so talented, but you just never know what you're going to get in there. But he did have a pretty good showing in this against Yancy Medeiros.
He looked great in this one.
He did. But I just feel like with all the skills he has, dude, he should be knocking people out.
For sure. But, I mean, he goes to decision a lot, as we talked about. So, just all three rounds, I thought it was just totally Lando. I mean,
sure.
Controlled the stand-up, was able to stop any offense that Yancey was pretty much throwing his way. So, I thought it was a perfect fight for perfectly executed fight for Lando. Did absolutely great. Yancey Medeiros, now 15-7 overall. 6-7 in the UFC.
On a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, he's 0-2 since he went back to the lightweight division back in January of 2019. And he's 3-6 with 1-0 contest in that weight class overall. And then on the other hand, Groovy Lando. He's now 11-4. Definitely a much needed win for him. Starting to find his groove, if you will. So,
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one.
We had Rogerio Bontorin going up against the Tasmanian Devil Ray Borg, who missed weight coming into this again. What was that bet you told me you heard?
Somebody bet like $300 to win 100 that Ray Borg would make weight.
Wow. Was that after the first initial weigh-in and he got an hour to try again?
No, or was that just like, in general? Like the week before.
Oh, bro. I would have been shaken when he made weight and then they told him you have another hour to try and make it again. Oh, I would have been shaken like, please, Ray, cut your hair or something. Cut your toenails.
But yeah, he ended up missing weight by 2 pounds. He's going to have to go back up to 135 if they let him. I think that's something the UFC brass is going to have a talk about. But yeah, Ray Borg, dude. I mean,
I thought
great performance.
I thought Rogério was going to have this. But dude, he just could not keep Ray off of his back. Ray landed 10 takedowns.
And we literally called it at one point. Like Rogério got
he landed some good shots.
He got him on the fence and was throwing, and then we're like, now back up. He literally clinched with Ray Borg, and I was like, oh, watch this. Here comes a takedown. Literally 15 seconds later, he gets taken down. Like,
that was
what was
the
game plan?
Ridiculous things I've ever seen. Because like you already been taken down at that point like 5 times.
Yeah, like at will.
You have the striking advantage on Ray Borg. Why
are you clinching him?
Why? For what?
Silly.
I was pissed.
Terrible game plan by Rogério Bontorin. Judges ended up seeing it for Ray Borg. 30-27, 30-27, 30-25.
Yeah, that what we had a couple of those tonight.
Yeah, there was a 30-26s in the Chaisson fight. 30-25 for Mirab Dvalishvili. 30-26 for Devin Clark. 30-25 here for Ray Borg.
So that one judge was like, you really lost this round.
Playing it strict.
But, I like that. Fuck the 10-9 shit.
Fuck that bullshit,
go
bro.
Go lower. Oh, you had a 10-7, motherfucker. You got dominated. Like, fuck it. Throw it out there.
So that improves my record to 5-4. Slim is fucking 3-6.
God, will I ever get one back? I guess in this next one we kind of did.
Yeah,
we had a newcomer, Brock Weaver, making his long anticipated debut, going up against Kazula Vargas. And man, this one was like,
it was a banger.
But Kazula Vargas absolutely smothered Brock Weaver going into the first round, or halfway through the first round. Brock only landed 6 strikes to Kazula's 50.
Yeah.
And
Kazula's active, man.
Kazula's very active. And the young Kelvin Gastelum looking lightweight.
That's Nasrat.
He looks like him, too.
Nah, Nasrat.
Anyway, so he gets Brock against the cage. Brock's on... He's got one knee down, like his whole shin is on the ground, and the other knee he like plants a foot to try and stand up, and Kazula's like, fuck it, I'm gonna throw the knee. Knocked Brock Weaver out right there against the cage.
Cold.
I was like, whoa, bro, what the hell? Brock gets up like, yo, what happened?
Thought he lost.
You thought he lost. Turns out he won via disqualification.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's not a no contest.
Illegal knee.
Weird.
Why would that be a no contest?
Because it was like you got knocked out, but
it was an illegal strike.
Yeah, it should be just a wash.
What? No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works.
I think it's weird. The other guy wins because of it.
Look at John Jones.
What do you mean? Look at him. He almost Anthony Smith could have got the belt for that.
What? I'm talking about his loss.
Oh well, yeah, but that should have been ruled a no contest as well.
No, if you throw an illegal strike, you should lose.
Yeah. Anyway, so Brock Weaver accepting the fact that, you know, he got knocked out. Could not continue. Referee called it off. He got the dub. Not the way he wanted to win in his UFC debut, and I can't wait to see him back. I hope he does take a little time off, though, because he got fucking...
Yammed.
With the knee to the face on the ground. And, dude, who was asking us, like, oh, why didn't he let him do that? Yeah, John. And I was like, bro, John, do you see how defenseless he is?
Yeah, like...
He took a knee to the dome? My God, this rule's got to be in place.
Yeah, so Brock Weaver defeated Kazula Vargas by disqualification due to an illegal knee that was 4 minutes and 2 seconds into the very first round. That improves Brock Weaver's record to 15-4 overall. That was his UFC debut. And then Rodrigo Kazula Vargas falls to 11-4 overall. Good performance. Unfortunately, he just
couldn't escape that down position, unfortunately. Yeah. I think if he would, he would have maybe took off. But I don't know. It was a good matchup. I like it. Maybe they'll run it back.
That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, Brock Weaver, I already said all that. That improves my record to, lordy, 6-4 overall. And Slim is now
4-6.
4-6. You're right.
Nice. Right. Even though I fucked it up here. Montana De La Rosa taking on Mauro Romeo Barella. I actually went with the Italian on this one.
I know.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Got to pick smart.
Yeah, it was just Montana was definitely the more active striker in this.
And the grappling, man.
Both landed one takedown, but. Yeah, it was just the control time was definitely there for Montana, and you know it just wasn't Mara's fight to win.
Yeah,
or Mara's. I thought going into this that Mara had fought better competition there in the last few because she lost to like top 10 people. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that was going to get her have her more experience going into this, but it's not how it happened.
No, man, I knew Montana De La Rosa was going to be able to control this fight. I didn't know she was going to do it this dominantly, but yeah, I mean, great performance by her. She's now 11-5 overall, 4-1 in the UFC. Her 4 victories in the UFC flyweight division are now second most behind only Valentina Shevchenko's 5. And Mauro Romero Barella is now 12-7 overall, 2-3 in the UFC. And she has suffered both of her UFC losses, or I'm sorry, all 3 of her UFC losses by decision.
Damn.
So that improves my record to 7-4. Slim's 4-7.
Fuck.
Oh, man. You haven't won a card this year, buddy.
No.
We're almost into March.
No.
It's tough.
We're only 3 in.
It's tough.
Are we 4?
What?
4 cards?
Yeah, I think it's 4 cards. I think so. Tough, right, man.
All right. Well, then this next one. You know what? I listened back to the episode.
What was it as advertised?
No. So we had Diego the Nightmare Sanchez taking on Michelle Pereira. And Michelle Pereira does what Michelle Pereira does. He's fucking flashy, throws bro, crazy shits.
Did you hear that Michael Chiesa, Michael Bisping shit?
Yeah, that was goofy.
Bro. I was watching that live and I was like...
Michael Chiesa never does commentary with him again.
Oh, dude. Scorched him. I wonder if I can find it.
I might have it, too. But I do also have some audio of Diego's corner.
Oh, jeez.
Who was giving him some odd advice going into this fight. I have the...
You got it?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, this doesn't help his stock at all. I mean,
talking about Michelle Pereira. This is Michael Chiesa.
Given that last fight with Tristan Connolly, but now it's like, Michael,
you think?
I love you, but no! More backflips, more wild surfers. As long as you don't run out of gas, keep doing it, because come on, that electrified this audience. He walks out, okay, I wasn't into that.
It did not electrify the audience for one. Oh, did it go on more?
Yeah!
It's coming this way, but listen. It's awesome. It's
How did his last 2 fights go?
Okay, shut up.
I'm
in the middle of
L's.
You're gonna entertain the crowd. How did your last fight go? I was falling asleep and I was coming to your striker.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Damn.
When I was watching that live, I was like, fuck, bro.
fuck, bro. Oh my god, got he ripped him.
Got his ass.
Why did you do that?
This thing's a bit on trash, bro.
Yo,
like,
what the fuck?
Why is he out here bullying everybody?
What the fuck? Oh my god. Alright, wait, I gotta go to Instagram for this one. So Diego Sanchez, as we know, parted ways with Jackson Wink, and he's been so-so as of late. He did good with the, the Mickey Gall fight.
Yeah.
And then what was the last one he lost to? Who did he lose to last?
What?
Who did Diego Sanchez lose to last?
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening to you. Michael Chiesa.
Okay, yeah. Not so good in that fight. No. But, yeah, so he switched camps, and he's only got one corner man.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely insane. And it clearly didn't help him in this fight. Let me see if I can find this. Where do you find your likes at?
I think you have to go to your profile and then hit those three bars.
Yeah.
And go to your... Oh, no, that's not it. Archive?
No, archives is like things you save. Notifications, business privacy. Account? Post you flagged. Yep.
Nice.
All right, let me find this real quick because it was really funny what Diego's corner was saying to him.
Let's see it.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Let's see it, you little shitbag.
I'm trying to find it. Fuck, where is it?
Fuck, bro.
It was on MMA Junkie. They're the ones that posted it.
MMA Butthole.
Oh. All right, let me go to their thing. Basically, Diego's corner was giving him real weird stuff. Real lot of weird things.
Giving him some weird stuff, if you know what we're saying. A little nose candy.
Oh.
Wild accusation.
Shit. Hang on. Go ahead and talk about their highlights and stuff. I'm going to try to find them differently.
I mean, for the most part, Michel Pereira was just, able to impose his will on Diego Sanchez. Striking, obviously, had the huge advantage. Diego wasn't able to get any type of takedown. He was just kind of marching forward with his head on a line, just getting poked by Michel Pereira. I had a feeling the end was near, but I didn't expect it to happen like this.
No, not at all.
As Michel Pereira got Diego Sanchez onto a pretty similar position as Kazula Vargas had Brock Weaver, pretty much same thing. He just threw a knee in there, kind of with, like, right after his punches, he kind of ended up just throwing a knee in there. Diego Sanchez was clearly down. I believe he even had two knees and a hand down or something like that. It was pretty pretty blatant. But, yeah, Michel Pereira threw the knee, cut Diego Sanchez really, really bad. They, of course, put a pause on the fight and had the doctor come in and look. And, yeah, Diego pretty much asked, I think it was Jason Herzog, you know, if I don't, you know, what happens if I don't, do I get this disqualification if I can't continue? And he was like, oh, well, you just let me know what you want to do. And I think it kind of hit Diego, you know, like, this fight isn't going my way. This is going to be a way for me to get a nice win. So right. He took it and, you know, veteran move. Can't be mad at him. He did take the illegal strike. He was losing. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, you might as well fucking take your win.
Right. All right. So here is Diego Sanchez's one lone cornerman with his advice.
Five recovery breaths. Sip the water. Do your thing. Good. Five recovery breaths. In the nose, out the mouth. Listen carefully. You are stopping your motion. Do not wait to see your work. I need forward pressure. I need you to get off the line before you attack. Off the line before you attack. V drill. Think of the shadow. Shadow. I need you to get in.
Speed drill.
Okay, get in, get behind. If it gets tight,
get sticky, take them to the ground, get on top, give me some ride time, give me some ground and pound.
All right, like, not the worst advice, right?
I mean, kind of. What was up with the shadow
going shit? In the second round?
You need to go, all right? You need to go. I need to see you go swinging. You know why? He's got nothing to lose now. He just won that round with that throw. You had the other round on points on contact, all right? Yep. So you got to get a takedown. You got to hold him down. You got to work this motherfucker over. You hear me? Yes.
Back on ESPN Plus, listening to the corner of Diego Sanchez.
Get out there and do your fucking job. Like, whoa, buddy.
Easy, pal.
He's in a fight. If things get sticky, you gotta get sticky. Like, what?
Yeah, what was Mans talking about?
Be a shadow. Be like the shadows. Like, yo, what?
I was tweaked about that.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. So, some of the advice was okay. Some was not. It was very weird. I don't like this one cornerman shit. And even Trevor Whitman was in the corner going, you know what? I've known Diego for so long. This corner advice is just really strange. I know what he's capable of, and this is just sad to see because he was getting just absolutely battered.
For sure.
But, yeah. Doubt Diego's going to hang it up. But
yeah, you know him.
We'll see what's next for Michelle Pereira. Shit. He's always an exciting fight. So,
but he's now 1-2 in the UFC, which is just not good.
No bueno.
He's going to have to get that on track. But he's talented. He's young. He's fun to watch. So he's got that going for him.
Right.
Diego Sanchez, now 30-12 overall, 19-12 in the UFC. Gets it done again, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time there's ever been a disqualification twice on a main card. And it might even be twice on a card in general.
For the same exact move.
Exactly. Wild.
Same exact position they were both in, dude. What?
Shit was crazy.
Wild.
So, yeah. Moving on to the main event of the evening.
The rematch. Corey Anderson against Jan Błachowicz. We both thought Corey Anderson was going to come in with a little moxie here off his knockout of Johnny Walker in the first round.
Right.
And score takedowns at will because that's what he did in the first fight. And Jan said, oh, you forgot about the Polish power? God
crazy.
Damn, bro.
Crazy.
Hit him with the same, like, just about the same shot he did with Luke Rockhold.
Almost. That left, dude. It's
fuck.
Vicious. Dropped Corey Anderson and then just laid a couple hammers on him.
Corey went in with a leg kick and yeah. He dropped his hand because of it.
As Michael Chiesa kept saying, stop throwing leg kicks against power punchers.
Right.
Because that's exactly what will happen. Jan Błachowicz has scary power. As soon as he knocked out Corey Anderson, he looked over to the crowd with John Jones. They had a moment. Looked like John kind of accepted it.
I liked it.
I feel like with this performance,
what
you got to give it to
Jan. What did we
say
last week?
It's got to be something. It's got to be something crazy.
You got to make a move. You can't take the decision.
Nope.
You got to make a move and make a statement.
Statement was made, bro.
Yes.
Jan Błachowicz. 100% in my mind.
He said, bet.
Yeah. He deserves it. It's got to be him.
Right. I agree.
Dominic Reyes will be there. Didn't you suggest somebody, Dominic and Thiago Santos or something like that?
Yes, yes.
That'd be fire. So, yeah, a little something like that. Whoever wins that Dominic Reyes and Thiago Santos fight, give him the rematch with John. Or it's at least there.
Right.
Because John might be looking for a super fight soon. But
sure.
Yeah. Dude, what a performance. I mean, got himself 50 G's.
Jan Błachowicz proven that he's not just a decision point fighter.
No. He's got serious power in his hands, dude. He's on a 3-fight winning streak right now, which is the second longest active streak in the division behind only John Jones.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ain't that wild?
That is wild.
So,
3.
He's 7-1 now in his last 8 UFC appearances, too. The only defeat he had in that stretch came to Thiago Santos. So
nice.
Jan Błachowicz with a crazy performance, almost pretty much immediately cementing himself as John Jones' next opponent. So we'll see what's next with that one. Rough night for Slim, man. Mm.
Both of us picked Corey on that, but...
Yeah, I went 7-6, so luckily I at least went positive. Slim with a whopping 4-9 record on the night. That takes our records on the year. I'm currently sitting at 28-20.
Slim is 500, baby. 24-24.
Really?
Oof. Yeah.
Oh, could be worse.
Could it?
Yeah, it could be less. Less than 500. We'll get him back.
Shouldn't be like that, Slim.
We'll get him back. It should not. I'm better than this. I'm a professional.
Well, you got a good chance to come back on this next one, but man, let me tell you, I was looking at this fight, next fight card earlier, and fuck, dude, there's going to be some really, really hard fights to pick on this one.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I really don't know what's going on with this card.
You want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Slim and I are going to take a quick little bathroom break here. We'll be back after that to preview the upcoming UFC fight night that will be taking place at Spark Arena in Auckland, New Zealand. Of course, the main event, Paul Felder versus Dan Hooker. Gonna be a banger.
I think I was.
Sit tight, guys. We'll be right back.
Really? What was her name? I don't remember.
At his show, just run up there and just run cold cock him and run off on stage. We're putting together a show for March, I think.
About time.
Something at the Outpost.
You still perform?
Apparently, I'm coming out of retirement. I sat down and wrote a song the other day.
Dolly.
I just need to get in the studio.
I wanna give you studio loving. Do-do-do. Studio loving.
Studio loving. Wait, how does it go? It's like,
I wanna give you some studio loving.
Damn, doo-doo-doo. That's a deep cut too.
Studio loving.
Studio loving. That old whiz. Damn, I forgot
give
about
you
that
everything
one.
You want and need. Play you right like a piano. If I let you stroke my keys.
I was listening to Burn After Rolling on Sunday. And I was like, damn, this was like prime Wiz.
Yeah.
Lamborghini dreams, beach house wishes, 4 bottles of champagne for my beach house bitches. And then after that, he came out and was like, listen, that's my whole life is women and champagne and fast cars. What do you want me to rap about? And I was like, oh, you know, man's got a point.
Wizzle man.
Wizzle man. Never been a thism man.
Well,
we're going to Auckland. With the Kiwis.
Should be a fun one. You know, they get pretty hype over there, so.
Yeah, and I fucking love this main event more than anything.
Ooh,
it's Paul Felder taking on Dan Hooker. It should be an all-out violent affair.
All-out violent affair, he says.
Yes. And the card is pretty violent as well, to be honest.
Yeah, let's get into the very first fight, though.
Except for this one.
Yeah, they gave us the dud to start it, so.
I don't even know who to pick on this.
I know.
We got Shanna Dobson going up against, I can't believe she's still in the UFC, Priscilla Cachoeira.
This, I mean, if you lose this fight, you're out.
Priscilla has never won in the UFC. She's on a 3-fight losing streak, all 3 in the UFC. And Shayna hasn't won since 2017 when she had her first fight in the UFC on the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah. So
and is 0-2 as of late.
Overall, Priscilla, did you say their overalls?
No.
Overall, Priscilla Cachoeira is 8-3. Like Slim said, she's 0-3 in the UFC. And then Shanna Dobson, 3-3 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. So looking at how they get it done, Shanna Dobson, of her 3 wins, only 1 came by stoppage, which was a knockout. The other 2 wins were by decision. All 3 of her losses are by decision as well, so she's never been stopped. Priscilla Cachoeira, on the other hand, 4 knockouts, 4 decisions. She was submitted once, and she lost her other 2 fights by decision. So both of these ladies absorb a lot of shots. Luckily, Shanna Dobson is able to land a decent amount, but for the most part, both of their strike differentials are terrible. They're deep into the negatives. Shanna Dobson does have some takedown skills, but for the most part, they'll probably be keeping this one on the feet. I don't even have odds for this fight, so me and Slim are really winging it on this one. Give me Shanna Dobson.
I'll take Priscilla.
All right, cool. ANA MMA going to disagree on this first one. Slim's going with Priscilla Cachoeira. I am going with Shanna Dobson. So we're disagreeing to start it off. Let's move on to the welterweight division.
It makes me erect.
Whoa.
Did you listen back to what you said last week?
What'd I say?
We disagreed on 3 of them, and you were like, oh, Slim, this makes me hard. I'm aroused. Spit in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That shit
I'm a freaky bitch.
Going on to the next one, we got Coconut Bombs.
Coming back, baby.
Maki Pizzolo taking on Takashi Sato.
Yeah, so.
Ooh, this is going to be a good one.
Oh, this one's going to be crazy. I'm telling you guys right now. So Maki Pizzolo likes throwing them, likes throwing crate, lives up to the Coconut Bombs nickname. That's what he does. He throws bombs. But Takashi Sato, a little bit more technical. I compare him to a poor man's Darren Till. So. Looking at the tail of the tape, both men are 29 years old and both are also 5'10". Takashi Sato will have the 1-inch reach advantage. He's fighting out of Hard Knocks 365 with Kamaru Usman, Robbie Lawler, Jairzinho, and Maki Pizzolo still fighting over in West Oahu. Looking at their records, Maki Pizzolo, 12-5 overall, 0-1 in the UFC, and then Takashi Sato, 15-3 overall, 1-1 in the UFC. Who was his last fight?
Sato?
Yeah.
I lost against Bilal Muhammad.
Tough one. Looking at how they get it done, Takashi Sato, of his 15 wins, 10 by knockout. Definitely has that power. He has been knocked out before, and he's been submitted twice, so all 3 of his losses are by stoppage. Maki Pizzolo, on the other hand, pretty even. He's got 5 knockouts, 3 submissions, 3 decisions, but he has been knocked out twice, submitted twice, and lost a decision. Looking at their significant strikes, Takashi Sato with a -2 strike differential, while Maki Pizzolo, on the other hand, has a +2 strike differential. So in favor of Maki Pizzolo there when you look at how it's going there on the feet. But grappling advantages all go to Maki Pizzolo, or I'm sorry, not Maki Pizzolo, Takashi Sato, except for average submissions attempted. Maki does have more than Takashi on that one. Looking at the odds here,
100% even. Both are, it's a total pick 'em right now.
Wow.
So, like I said, I think Takashi is the more technical striker. I think Maki's going to come in, be throwing some pretty crazy coconut bombs, and I think he's going to get caught. I think he's going to go 0-2 to start his UFC run. I think he's a talented kid, but I also think Takashi Sato is a scary man when he is focused. So I'm going with Takashi Sato on this one.
I absolutely agree.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Takashi Sato to defeat Maki Pitolo. Moving on to the women's strawweight division.
Yeah,
I'm excited for this one.
Me too.
I'm going to let Slim take this.
We have Luma Lukbunmi.
Lukbunmi, yeah.
Going up against Angela Overkill Hill, making her sixth fight in almost a year. What's up with that?
She don't give a fuck.
What's up with that?
Nothing.
Yeah, Angela Hill coming in on short notice again.
Yeah.
Replacement. She was replacing Hannah Goldie. Who was supposed to fight Lukbunmi. Lukbunmi is on a 2-fight win streak of her own.
Yeah.
She is 5-1 overall. Angela Hill is 11.
I got her as 4-1, so.
Oh, that's what I meant, 4-1. Angela Hill is 11-7 and on a 2-fight win streak of her own.
Yeah,
and
2-fight stoppage streak.
Yeah, and those fights were very dominant.
Right.
Yeah, man, Angela, I don't have the stats that you do, so go ahead with that.
Okay, the way they get it done, I'm sorry, Lukbunmi, 4-1 overall, 1-0 in the UFC. Angela Overkill Hill, 11-7 overall, 6-7 in the UFC. Looking at how they get it done, it's either knockout or decision. Neither woman has a submission. Angela Overkill Hill, of her 11 wins, 5 are by knockout, other 6 by decision. Lukbunmi, of her 4 wins, only 1 by knockout, other 3 by decision. Lukbunmi is also only 24 years old. Angela Hill's 35. Obviously a huge difference with 13 UFC fights to 1. So that experience could be a really big factor. Angela Hill has been knocked out once, submitted once, and 5 decision losses. Lukbunmi has been submitted once. Looking at the significant strikes, both are in the pluses, but it's Lukbunmi who has better more landed per minute, better striking accuracy, absorbs less per minute, and has a better strike differential.
That's only based on 1 UFC fight, though, right?
True. And then looking at the grappling stats, all except the average for 15 minutes go in favor of Angela Hill. Give me Angela Hill. No. You're not going to do it. You're not going to finally do it.
I got to do the same.
Oh, wow. Slim finally. Damn it.
No, I said,
you know, in that case, give me Loma Lukbunmi because.
Nuh-uh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I said it on the last one. I was like, you know what? I don't know why I've been so against Angela Hill. I wasn't liking her fighting style. That was very point-based, but she's been finishing. So, yeah, I'm going with Angela Overkill Hill.
A&A finally agreeing on an Angela Hill fight. We're both going with Overkill Hill. Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that one.
She's like as active as a cowboy at the moment.
I mean, yeah, she's wherever.
She's
right
like,
now.
Fuck it. Oh, halfway across the world? Let's do it.
So,
speaking of halfway across the world,
yeah.
This next one, we have Kaikar France taking on Tyson Nam. Pretty quick turnaround for Kaikar France.
Yeah.
He just fought at.
It was 2 months ago.
December card against Brandon Moreno. A hard-fought decision loss.
Yep.
Where they were both just throwing bombs. Tyson Nam, we haven't seen him since August of last year. He took a loss to Sergio Pettis.
Yeah, I mean, what a couple of really hard fights for your first two UFC fights. But I think it's because, you know, Tyson Nam is 36. He's been in the game for a while.
Tyson's only fought 1 UFC fight.
What'd I say?
Oh, you mean just this lineup that he's fought?
Yeah. You know,
This was the older dude, the one that's 36. Yeah, he took that Sergio fight on very short notice. I remember.
Yeah,
this.
I think it's because he is 36 and he's fought a lot of good people throughout his entire career, so that's why they probably expect him. Like,
yeah, he's had almost 30 fights.
Yeah, if you're 36, man, you got to come in here and you got to beat the best if you're going to make a shot or make a run at anything. So.
Yeah, Kaikar France was on a 8-fight win streak before he ran into Brandon Moreno.
Yeah.
That's insane. But Brandon Moreno took off in that fight.
For sure.
I was very shocked at his performance. But yeah, Kai Kara-France, as we know, started off his career, bunch of losses, and absolutely turned it around back in 2017 when he joined. Well, I don't know if that's when he joined City Kickboxing, but City Kickboxing has done him well. Like I said, he was on an 8-fight win streak before this last fight, which he was winning the first round in. So Kai Kara-France definitely knows what he's doing, the striking advantage. He's going to have the hometown advantage as well.
Ooh, wee.
This is going to be a rough one for Tyson Nam, I feel like.
Ooh, yeah. I can see that. Kai Kara-France, 3-1 overall in the... I'm sorry, 3-1 in the UFC. So all significant striking stats in favor of Kai Kara-France. All grappling stats in favor of Kai Kara-France.
I'm surprised this fight is as far down as it is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the same kickboxing boy.
Right, yeah.
And your homie is in the main event.
He should definitely be on the main card. I got to go with Kai Kara-France on this one.
Same.
He is the biggest favorite on the card at minus 265.
That's it?
That's it.
Oof.
Biggest favorite on the card. That's crazy.
Wow.
That is fucking wild.
Wow.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Kai Kara-France to defeat Tyson Nam.
On to the welterweight division.
Yep.
We have Callan Potter, the man who just took out Maki Pitolo, going up against Keenan Song.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fucking high action bout. I'm letting you know that
I
right
like
now.
I like this a lot.
From the jump, these two are going to be going straight at it. Callan Potter is kill or be killed. Most of his wins are by submission. And then on the other hand, Kanan Song, most of his wins are by stoppage. So looking at the tail of the tape, Song, 29 years old, Potter, 35. Both men are 6 foot. Only a half inch reach advantage for Callan Potter. Looking at their records, 15-5 overall for Kanan Song, 3-1 in the UFC. Callan Potter is 18-8 overall, 1-1 in the UFC. Looking at how they get their wins, Kanan Song, like I said, of his 15 wins, 13 by stoppage, so expect him to be looking to get something done early. And then of Callan Potter's 18 wins, 16 of those are by stoppage. So both it works both ways on this one, but the thing that stands out to me is Callan Potter has never lost by decision. All 8 of his losses, 4-4, are by knockout and submission.
Wow.
So that scares me that he's been knocked out 4 times. But Kanan Song has also been knocked out twice out of his 5 losses. The other 3 losses are by decision. Looking at the significant striking stats, pretty even everywhere you look at it. You know, they're not too far off, but big grappling advantages in favor of Callan Potter. I think he's going to be looking to get this one on the ground. He's going to want to suppress that strength that Kanan Song has. He's going to just probably try riding this one out on the ground.
Keenan Song fought Israel.
Adesanya, yeah, I know.
Back in 2015.
He fought Kai Kara-France, too, I'm pretty sure. Or is that true? He fought somebody.
Brad Riddell.
Yeah, I knew he fought somebody else, too.
Wow, not good against City Kickboxing boys.
Callan
doesn't fight out there, does he?
No, he fights with, like...
Out of Melbourne.
Yeah, he fights with, like, Dan Kelly and, like, fucking...
Okay.
Jake Matthews and Jim Groot. Give me my fucking Song Kanan in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Song Kanan to defeat Callan Potter. And then moving on to your featured preliminary card bout.
Ooh, this one should be fun. We got the Celtic Kid, Jake Matthews, taking on Emil Meek. We haven't seen him in quite a while.
Long-ass time.
Since his loss over...
1 year and 7 months ago.
Bartosz Favinski? I don't even remember that fight.
Yeah, dude. He lost... Who did he lose to before that, too?
Kamaru.
Kamaru.
That was his first fight in the UFC. Jeez. Or second, rather.
He had mad hype coming in.
Yeah, jeez. But yeah, Jake the Celtic Kid Matthews, he just beat Rostam Arkman.
Oh, Rostam, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was back in October, and then he took the L to Antonio Rocco Martin right before that. Like I said, Emil Meek coming off a pair of losses himself, trying to live up to the hype that he was brought in at.
Yeah.
The Viking Warrior.
Valhalla.
Take it to Sovereign God.
Looking at the tail of the tape, Jake the Celtic Kid Matthews, he's only 25 years old, bro.
I know.
So wild. Emil Valhalla Weber Meek is 31 years old. A half inch height advantage for Jake Matthews and an inch and a half inch reach advantage for Emil Weber Meek. Looking at how they
Jake
get it
Matthews
done.
Lost his first fight against James Vick.
He's 15-4 overall, 9-4 in the UFC. And then Emil Weber Meek, 9-4 overall with one no contest, 1-2 in the UFC. Looking at how they get it done, Meek loves the knockout. Of his 9 wins, 7 are by knockout, 1 submission, 1 decision. He has been knocked out twice, though, and lost twice by decision. And then on the other hand, pretty even for how Jake Matthews gets it done. 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, 4 decisions. He's also been knocked out once, submitted twice, and lost once by decision. All significant striking stats in favor of Jake Matthews. He averages almost 2 takedowns per minute, which is 1.6 more than Meek. Meek does have good takedown accuracy, but Jake Matthews has really good takedown defense. So I don't see Meek being able to do too much. If he does get on the ground, he can threaten some submissions, but Jake Matthews himself is a black belt, so I don't see that happening either. Pretty much any way you cut it, I think Jake Matthews is going to take this one.
Same.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jake the Celtic Kid Matthews.
I almost picked a mule on some fuck shit.
Yeah, wow, you're wildin'.
But I didn't.
Moving on to the main card.
Jalen the Turner Tarantula. Dude, he's following a few people on this card. They're like keeping it in the family for this lineup. Going up against newcomer Joshua Kulabao.
Kulabao, yeah.
Kulabao.
So looking at the tail of the tape, 2 really young fighters here. Jalen Turner, 24. Kulabao, 25. Looking at how tall they are, Jalen Turner will be coming in with a 5-inch height advantage. So he's going to be looking to exploit that. Kulabao currently on an 8-fight win streak, only taking this fight on 18 days notice. Really popular in Australia, so I'm sure he's going to be looking to get crowd pretty rowdy.
Was he? Oh, he's supposed to fight Jamie Mullarkey, so Joshua's coming in on short notice.
Looking at their records, Jalen Turner's 8-5 overall, 1-2 in the UFC, and then Kulabao 8-0 overall, making his UFC debut. Looking at how they get it done, both men love the knockout. Jalen Turner, all 8 of his wins are by stoppage, 7 of them by knockout.
Oof.
Of the 8 wins for Kulabao, 5 knockouts, 3 decisions. But Jalen Turner has been knocked out 3 times of his 5 losses, with 2 decision losses as well. That scares me, but he's got good striking. He's just got to keep his head off that center line. Look not to get caught in this one, and I think he could do pretty well. But don't got any odds on this one. It's a tough one.
It is.
Give me Jalen the Tarantula Turner.
You know what?
Going with the newcomer?
I'm going to do the same.
A&A MMA going to agree on
this
one.
Thought about it, but he hasn't fought in over a year.
We're both going with Jalen the Tarantula Turner.
Oh, I'm sure you got a lot to say on this next one.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Zubaira Tukagov will take a fight with Kevin Aguilar, but he won't take a fight with me. I'm just saying, I think he's ducking. He's 100%.
I'm just saying, he's ducking you.
He's 100% ducking me.
He's
so
ducking you.
Like I said, the challenge has been issued. Whenever he wants to do it, Dana, I'll sign. I'll fight for $5,000.
Bro, Zubaira was supposed to fight Artem Lobov back in 2018, but it got canceled.
Yeah, that would have been fire.
That would have been great. Wow. But anyway, he is taking on Kevin Aguilar, the Angel of Death. The Angel of Death is coming off a loss against Dan Ige, but he was on a 3-fight or
something like that.
Oh, shit. A huge fight win streak. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 9-fight win streak before
that.
Yeah,
fucking people up.
Damn. Zvira, however, kind of a draw to Lerone Murphy. Excuse me. And I always do that. Like, the fuck. Try to hide it. And a loss to Renato Moicano right before that. But he was on a 4-fight win streak before that, even.
In
the UFC.
Looking at the stats, pretty even everywhere, especially on the feet. But when you look at the grappling, Tukhugov with a huge advantage. He averages almost 3 takedowns per 15 minutes, and he's going to look to exploit the takedown defense of Kevin Aguilar. But luckily, Aguilar does have 86% takedown defense, so you know, he's shown he's able to stay on his feet if he needs to, and then 100% takedown defense for Tukhugov. So it's going to be interesting. I think Tukhugov's going to do a lot of shooting for the takedown in this one, because Aguilar really has those hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't take Zub. It's a pick 'em, -115. Give me Kevin Aguilar.
I'll take Tukhugov.
Oh, you're just trying to get spicy now.
You're a rival.
Yeah, so ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. I'm going with Kevin Aguilar. Slim's going with Zubaira. Don't want to see me in these streets. Tukhugov.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's keep it in the Russian family. We got Magomed Musafayev taking on Brad Riddell.
Whoa. So this is my vote for fight of the night.
Whoa. They're throwing Brad Riddell in there.
Yeah. Musafayev. I mean, last time he was in there, he got a spinning kick knockout.
Yeah. And Brad Riddell coming off his first UFC win against Jamie Malarkey.
Which, you know, he didn't really dominate that fight.
No. So obviously they think very highly of the City Kickboxing I think he's actually the boxing coach in that gym.
Yeah, something like kickboxing.
Brad Riddell. Damn, son.
Where'd you find this? So looking at the tail of the tape, Mustafayev's 31, Riddell's 28. Mustafayev with a 1-inch height advantage. Both men have a 71-inch reach. Looking at their records, 7-1 for Brad Riddell, 1-0 in the UFC. Mustafayev is 14-2 overall, 3-1 in the UFC.
And his only loss was to Kevin Lee.
Looking at how they get it done, Mustafayev, of his 14 wins, all by stoppage, 10 knockouts, 4 submissions.
Oof.
Looking at how Brad Riddell gets it done, of his 7 wins, 5 are by knockout, the other 2 are by decision. And then both of these men, their only losses are by submission. Riddell lost one fight by submission, and Mustafayev has lost 2 by submission. So with Brad Riddell not having any submission wins and Mustafayev having at least 4 of his 14 wins by submissions and having a pretty significant wrestling advantage,
yeah,
I think he's going to be looking to do that the entire fight. But the thing is, Mustafayev doesn't really use that wrestling. He's never attempted a takedown in the UFC.
Really?
Or he's never landed one, at least. He has 0% takedown accuracy. He doesn't have too great of takedown defense either. You know what? Actually, I think he really is not a wrestler at all. Despite the Russian. It's all Brad Riddell when it comes to the grappling stats. All stats are in favor of Brad Riddell, but like... He also only fought once in the UFC versus Jamie Malarkey.
This is a tough one because it is the City Kickboxing night.
This is also a pick'em. Give me Mustafayev by stoppage. Damn, ooh. I'm going against the fucking... It's about to be a bad night for the...
For the City Kickboxing
just
crew?
For Australia in general and New Zealand.
Fuck. Damn it. I don't want to pick Mustafayev, but I have to.
Why?
I just don't. Dude, like that 5 or 4 fight UFC experience to Brad Riddell's 1 fight.
Right.
And he's only got half of Mustafayev's total fights.
All right. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Magomed Mustafayev to defeat Brad Riddell. Slim riding the Russian train.
Hey. Oh, on beep, this next beep. One, Fathead. He's still in there.
Jeez.
Wow, where's he
this
been?
This is a fun ANA MMA matchup.
Yeah. He hasn't fought since February of last year.
And then Slim's least favorite fighter. Ben Sasoli, the Combat Wombat. I don't know why Slim be hating on the Combat Wombat. But looking at the... tail of the tape, Ben Sasoli is 30. Fathead De Lima is 34. Fathead will also have the 1-inch height advantage and the 2.5-inch reach advantage. looking at how they get it done, Fathead, of his, I'm sorry, looking at their records, Ben Sasoli is 7-2 overall, 2 no contests. He only has 1 no contest in the UFC.
His last 2 fights are no contests.
Yeah.
One due to an accidental eye gouge, and the other due to Greg Hardy hitting an inhaler on the stool to a fight he was losing.
And then Fathead is 16-6-1 overall, 5-4 in the UFC. Fathead, of his 16 wins, 14 by stoppage, 11 of those by knockout, the other 3 by submission. And then 6 knockouts of his 7 wins for Ben Sasoli. He does also have 2 decision losses, so he's never been knocked out, never been submitted. We saw that chin he displayed against Greg Hardy. On the other hand, Fathead has been submitted 4 times of his 6 losses, been knocked out once, and lost 1 decision. All significant striking stats and grappling stats in favor of Fathead. But you know what? Just to fucking piss Slim off, I'm going with the underdog. Give me the Combat Wombat.
You know who I'm picking.
Slim is going with Fathead. We got a disagreement on the token heavyweight fight on the main card. Slim's going with Marcos Rogerio Pesal de Fathead Lima. And I'm going with the Combat Wombat, Ben Sasoli.
This next one, oh, I know who I'm picking. We got Carolina Kowakowicz going up against Jean.
Carolina Kowakowicz.
Kowakowicz. Sound like I'm at a mouthful of goldfish.
Carolina Kowakowicz.
You know, that shit just gets in your teeth and you're like. Going up against Jeonan Yan.
Yeah, so looking at the tail of the tape, Carolina Kowakowicz, 34 years old. Yan is,
bro, another
30.
Fighter that fought a fighter earlier on this card. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
2-inch height advantage for Jeonan Yan, but a 1-inch reach advantage for Carolina Kowakowicz. She is ranked number 14, so Jeonan Yan looking to get that number 14 ranking from Carolina. Right now, Yan's on a four-fight win streak, while Carolina has lost her last 3. So, 2 total different directions for these 2 fighters right now for their form. And then Carolina, 12-5 overall, 5-5 in the UFC. Jeonan is 11-1-0 with 1 no contest, and she's 4-0 in the UFC.
And has looked amazing.
Amazing.
How is she not the biggest favorite on this card?
Right.
What are the odds?
Of all their... I'll get to that. All
right.
Looking at how they get it done, Carolina definitely likes going to the decision. Of her 12 wins, 9 are by decision, 2 submissions, 1 knockout. Jeonan, on the other hand, of her 11 wins, 5 knockouts, no submissions, but she has 6 decision wins. She has been submitted before, and Carolina, she's been knocked out once, submitted once, and lost by decision. Looking at the significant striking stats, all in favor of Jeonan Yan, by far. She also has all grappling stat advantages, except Carolina has better takedown defense. So Yan Jeonan is the second biggest favorite on the card at -250. Give me her.
Yeah. Actually, will you give us some odds for the last few?
I have been.
No, not the Combat Wombat one.
I said give me the underdog.
Yeah, but you didn't say what it was.
+120 to the -150 Fathead.
Magomed and Brad.
Mustafayev is the... That one was a pick'em, I said that.
Zubair and Kevin?
That one's a pick'em, I said that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot you said these are mostly pick'ems. All right, fair enough.
So, A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jeonan Yan to defeat Carolina Kowakowicz.
To the co-main event, an absolute banger. Ooh. I cannot wait for this fight. We got Jimmy Crute.
Jim Crute.
Going up against Michael Oleshchuk. His nickname is Lord.
Lord Oleshchuk.
Sounds like a fucking boss in Skyrim.
Another tale of two young fighters meeting up here.
Yeah, 23 and 24.
Yeah. Jim Crute will have the 2-inch height advantage. Both men have a 74-inch reach. Both fought pretty recently, 5 months for Jim Crute. I'm pretty sure that Oleksichuk fought on the next card the week after that.
And that was like 4 months ago. So looking at their records, Alexa
Chek. No, not even months. It was the next week.
Yeah.
They both fought a week after each other.
Yeah.
And lost the last fights.
Anyways, 14-3 overall with one no contest for overall for Alexa Chek. He is 2-1 in the UFC. And then Jim Crute, 10-1 overall, 1-1 in the UFC, looking at how they get it done. Alexa Chek, that big knockout power, 9 knockouts, 1 submission, 4 decisions. Jim Crute, pretty even, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, 3 decisions. Looking at how they lose their fights, Jim Crute, his only loss was by submission. I don't see Alexa Chek looking for a submission in this fight. Meanwhile, though, Alexa Chek has lost 2 of his fights by submission. The other one was by knockout. So, I think Jim Crute could be looking to get this one on the ground and look for a submission. Pretty close in the stand-up department. Their strike differential is actually 0.01 apart. So, it's extremely close on the stand-up. And then grappling, Alexa Chek does land more takedowns per 15 minutes. But Jim Crute has a 100% takedown accuracy. And then better takedown defense for Alexa Chek. Jim Crute has also attempted 2.3 submissions in his 2 fights per 15 minutes. He's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. So, looking at the odds on this one, Alexa Chek is the -140 favorite. Give me the underdog again. I'm going with the brute, Jim Crute.
I'm going with my boy, Michael Alexa Chek.
Lord Alexa Chek. Oh, wow. Ooh, I'm getting a little risky here. I'm going with the last 2 underdogs.
Yeah, you are.
Didn't I pick another underdog early on?
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I don't know.
No, I didn't. But
I'm feeling good about this one, boy.
Oh, you're confident about this one.
I am. About contrary what,
your,
to the
your picks in
commercial.
General, your picks in general, or?
Yes.
Okay. We'll check back in with Slim next week on that one.
Might not bet actual real money on this one.
Yeah, we've been sucking ass on DraftKings.
God,
dude.
We did so bad.
We've been getting fucked up.
God.
You know what? I actually ended up... No, I won money last week.
I didn't
win money, but I didn't lose money. I won my money back.
I lost 10 bones.
At least.
But so, you know what this one dude did, which I really liked? He had like 7 entries, all different fighters in the same bracket or the same contest.
Just the same contest. Yeah, but
like one he picked Jan Blachowicz, one he picked Corey Anderson. It was
right.
Like, what?
Some people though will just put like 7 of the same one in. Imagine if you hit on that one, bro. Ooh. And you got 7 entries in. Woo boo. I've seen people win a lot of money doing that shit.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that is the co-main event. ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. I'm going with Jim the Brute Crute. Slim is going with Lord Michael Alexa Chek. So, moving on to the main event of the evening.
Oh, my goodness. The Irish Dragon Paul Felder going up against the Hangman, Dynamite. Dan Hooker. Dynamite.
Dynamite Dan. I like that.
What's the Hangman?
Dynamite Dan Iggy.
The Hangman Hooker. Yeah, that's already... So, Dan Hooker looked absolutely spectacular in his last performance against Ally Quinn and his fight before that against James Vick, knocking him out in the first round.
For sure.
Paul Felder, however, has strung together his own little string of hard-fought decisions.
For sure.
First one against James Vick, which, like I said, Dan Hooker knocked him out. and then a fight against Anson Barboza, which he won a split decision with. I still think he won that fight, in my judges' scorecards. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Both fighters on a 2-fight win streak. Both fighters took a loss in their third one. Dan Hooker actually losing to Edson Barboza very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Felder beating him. Paul Felder, actually, if he didn't take that last minute fight against Mike Perry and get his arm broke,
he'd be right there.
He'd be in there.
Yeah.
Dude, he beat Stevie Ray, Charles Oliveira, James Vick, Edson Barboza. Woo!
Yeah.
That's a fucking lineup. Dan Hooker, however, was on a 4-fight win streak before that Barboza loss. And, he was feeling very confident going into that because all were finishes. 2 flying knees, a guillotine choke, and some punches for Gilbert Burns. Sent Gilbert Burns to the welterweight division.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So this fight absolutely has to happen. I believe they're number 6 and number 7.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me look. Let me see if I have it on here. But, yeah, this fight absolutely had to happen. I've been excited for this one since it was announced. Number 6 and number 7. 6 for Paul Felder?
Looking at their overall records, Paul Felder is 17-4 overall, 9-4 in the UFC. Dan the Hangman Hooker, 9-8 overall, 9-4 in the UFC. So 2-9-4 UFC records going up against each other.
Wow.
Looking at how they get it done, both men have 10 knockouts. But Dan the Hangman Hooker also has that submission threat. 7 wins by submission. So of his 19 wins, 17 are by stoppage. Paul Felder, on the other hand, like I said, those 10 knockouts, 1 submission, 6 decision wins. Looking at how they've lost, both men have only been knocked out once. Dan Hooker has been submitted twice, and 3 decision losses for Felder, 5 for Hooker. Significant striking stats. Paul Felder doesn't throw as much, but he absorbs less and has a better strike differential than Dan the Hangman Hooker. All grappling stats in favor of Dan the Hangman Hooker. I think this is going to be a fucking banger. I think this one is going to live up to all the hype.
I love it.
I think this is just going to be a magnificent stand-up battle. Like I said, Dan the Hangman Hooker does have a good ground game to fall back on if he needs it. But Paul Felder has amazing takedown defense, so I don't know if Dan's going to get him down that easy if he needs to. But you know what? For the third out of the last 4 fights, give me the underdog, bro. Give me Paul the Irish Dragon Felder.
Whoa. Did you stop at Slim Pickham's before this?
Oh, no.
We're in Auckland, New Zealand, boy. Give me the Hangman.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
It is. But Paul ain't taking him out in Auckland.
We'll see, man. It's going to be a fucking absolute banger of a card. Definitely one of the better fight nights
of the year so far.
Definitely. Out of the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one's going to be a from top to bottom. I mean, it's going to be straight action. That crowd's going to be rowdy. You can guarantee that. So this is definitely one to watch. I mean, if you don't got shit to do, definitely sit down and watch this card. Top to bottom.
Yeah, and it's starting early. The main card starts at 7 p.m.
Oh, I thought it... Oh, okay, yeah, and then the prelims are at 4.
Yeah, so cool. It'll be like noon over there by the time they fight?
Something like that.
That'll have an effect on it.
Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of... ANA MMA going to disagree on the main event as well. Slim's going with Dan, the Hangman Hooker. I'm going with the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder.
Yeah, and it's 8:34 p.m. right now in Akron, Ohio. In Melbourne... I know this isn't Auckland, but in Melbourne, Australia, it's 12:34. So I think it'll be about 1 o'clock-ish by the time these guys collide.
Time zones with Slim.
Yeah. 1 o'clock p.m. their time.
So,
end of Sunday.
We started the night with a disagreement, and we end it. Let's review our picks. Slim's going with Priscilla Cochiera. I'm going with Shayna Dobson. We're both picking Takashi Sato to defeat Maki Patolo. We're both taking Angela Hill to defeat Loma Lukbunmi. We're both going with Kai Kara France to defeat Tyson Nam. We're both going with Song Kanan, right?
Yep.
To defeat Callan Potter. Both going with Jake Matthews to defeat Emil Weber Meek. Going on to the main card. Disagreement here as Slim's going with Zubaira Tukagov.
No, you forgot Jalen Turner and Joshua.
Oh, yeah. ANA MMA both went with Jalen Turner on that one. And then Slim picked Zubaira Tukagov. I picked Kevin Aguilar. We both went with Magomed Mustafayev over Brad Riddell. I went with the Combat Wombat, Ben Sassoli over Fathead De Lima. Both of us picking Yan Zhaonan over Karolina Kowalkiewicz. I'm going with Jimmy Crute over Lord Michael Alexichuk as Slim picks. And then I'm going with Paul Felder, and Slim's going with Dan Hooker.
Hangman.
A lot of disagreements on that main card, so make sure you guys are watching. We'll be back to see if Slim finally takes the lead on me. Maybe Slim Pickens Part 2 featuring me running the commercial next week.
Yes.
But we'll see how it goes.
Right.
But yeah.
Other than that, we need to get the fuck out of here because we were supposed to be gone at 8.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I don't have any other news other than that. So
no. I did want to say shout out my cat Spyro.
Oh.
But yeah, other than that, that's about it.
Okay.
So yeah. I love Slim. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. All right. Bye, guys. We'll be back next week with coverage for this and as well as a preview of actually, what is the that, hell is coming up next? Is that the week after? What the hell is coming up next?
That's a lot of cards in a row.
Let me look real quick. Oh, wait. Is this the pay-per-view? Yeah. Well, it's a fight night, but February 29th will be Benavidez versus Figueroa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a fire one.
For the vacant flyweight bout.
Ooh, wee.
So we'll be covering that. It's a little light on this card, I'm not going to lie.
It'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all right. Episode 104.
Yes, that's the one.
That's us, ANA MMA. Back at you next week.
Signing off. Bye.